in Mark 1 and 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Over the years, in searching out words and the meaning of words, I've looked up that word repent. And the definition from the Greek, it says, think differently. And I haven't known how to deal with that, to tell a person to think differently. I know that there's been some major ministries that's been dedicated to renewing the minds of the people and filling their minds and teaching them how to think and to think positively and all sorts of things like that. And I've never believed that that's what is spoken here in repentance, you know, just to learn how to think positively or to think success or to think, you know, whatever. But yet Jesus spoke to the people in the region of Galilee. He came preaching the gospel. This is the very beginning of his ministry. And saying the time is fulfilled. Well, the time that he's talking about was the time of Daniel's prophecy, where Gabriel spoke about the coming of the Messiah. And he gave the beginning time of the prophecy, and 483 years later, one called the Messiah is going to come. And that was a time that was fulfilled this very year that Jesus was talking about. He said the time is fulfilled. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. He didn't say that the kingdom of God had come, but the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. And then he says, repent ye, think differently, and believe the gospel. Several days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, I heard myself that if you'll change your mind, God will change your heart. But until you change your mind about the gospel, about Christ, about sin, about the Word of God, unless you can change your mind, nothing can change your heart. And I realize that this is what the Lord is saying. Now, Jesus told us over in the 3rd chapter of John that concerning being born again. He said that place that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was telling them the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind and believe the gospel. Literally, think differently, but understand that is change your mind from what you've been believing and believe the gospel. And God said, if you'll change your mind, said, I will change your heart. Looking over to the 3rd chapter of Acts in the 19th verse, and it's Peter that's preaching here to the 5,000 that was saved the day that the lame man was healed. Great miracle happened at the gate beautiful of the temple. And he ends his message to these people, and he says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I'm not going to read through all of this, but I'm going to skip down to the 25th verse. And ye are the children of the prophets. Now, the covenant which God made with our fathers said unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And notice this. He tells them to repent and be converted. And then he somewhat explains what that be converted is. God has sent his son Jesus first to you to turn you, everyone, from your iniquities. This is what God's saying. If you'll change your mind, I'll change your heart. But we've got to believe. We've got to believe what God says. But I want to go back in some history of this word converted. He said here, repent ye therefore and be converted. I noticed that he didn't tell them to convert, but he said be converted. But also back in the Old Testament, there's places that God told the people to convert. Let's look at Isaiah, the 6th chapter. God sent Isaiah. This is a strange commission. But he told them, blind them, shut their eyes, make their ears heavy, their hearts fat. God had already determined his judgment against that nation because of their sins, because of their hardness of hearts. We remember back when God was judging Egypt, that Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. He continued hardening his heart until the day that God said, I'm going to harden his heart. He'll not let you go because I am going to harden his heart. At that time, Pharaoh's fate was sealed. The nation's fate was sealed. They couldn't change. They couldn't change their mind. They couldn't change their direction. Their fate was sealed because God said, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart because his judgment was already settled against them. So it was in the day, the generation of Israel, in the time that Isaiah was a prophet unto them. And he told them, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand their heart, and convert and be healed. And God established something right here, 700 years before Calvary, that the message of the gospel is of such that if a person hears it, sees it, understands it, they will be converted. If they see it, hear it, understand it in their heart, they will be converted. And that's the positive thing in this time of the grace of God and the preaching of the gospel. God has not shut up the hearts of any people today. It's up to us if we're going to change our minds and believe the gospel. But if we don't, we can be lost. We will perish. We'll not be saved because he said, change your minds and believe the gospel. They didn't have that choice in Isaiah's day. Ezekiel came and just a few years later, God told Ezekiel, said, I'm sending you to a people that's not going to hear your voice. They're not going to obey what you say. But he said, you go and you speak to them and you warn them. But he said, their hearts are hard and they're not going to believe what you say and hear what you say. He basically told Jeremiah the same thing. Jeremiah was just a child when God began to send him. When God first spoke to Jeremiah, he said, I can't go. I can't do what you're sending me to do. I'm just a child. And God said, don't say that you're a child. He said, because I'm sending you. He said, you'll go to who I send you to, and you'll say what I tell you to say. He said, I've made you a defense city. I've made you walls of brass. I've built a protection around you. I've given you a forehead like flint. They'll fight against you. They'll war against you. But he said they'll not be able to destroy you, to take you. They'll not be able to do it. And they were going to a rebellious generation that the judgment of God was already determined upon. But I can tell you, looking at eternal things, the judgment of God is determined upon a lost and a perishing world. But there's one difference. He sent us to preach the gospel, to give them the wonderful news of Christ, of who he is, what he came in the world to do, that he did it through death on the cross. Praise God that he'll do it in your heart if you believe it. And there is where the change in your mind comes in. I've preached it to many people over the past 25 years and hadn't always understood all that I understand today. But preaching that Christ came to make us free from sin. I've heard so many people say, I don't believe that. And I've always told them, you'll never experience that because you don't believe that. And until you believe it, you're not going to experience it. And I didn't know exactly how to say those things, but then I hear the voice of God said, tell them, if they can change their mind, I will change their heart. Praise God. And changing the heart is changing everything that's in them, everything they are, everything about them, everything that defiles a man comes out of the heart. We know that sin is in the heart. Iniquity is in the heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds unclean things and adulteries and fornications and drunkenness and evil speaking and evil thinking. He said, it all comes out of the heart of man because that is where that sin is resident in the heart of man. We're not talking about the blood pump. You know, we're not talking about that as the heart, but the very central part of man, that spiritual part of man, not godly part, but spiritual part in fallen men. But he said, if you change your mind, if you can change your mind, he said, I will change your heart. And all he tells us to do is you change your mind and believe the gospel. I'll change your heart. I'll convert you. I'll turn you. Pray in the Old Testament, he told them, he said, if they convert, I'll heal them. They hear, believe, understand, comprehend, convert. He said, I would heal them. And he said, so blind their eyes so they can't see, make their ears heavy so they can't hear, their hearts fat so they can't understand. Oh, that's a horrible thing. Wouldn't you hate to be in a generation like that, that their destiny is already settled? It's too late. It's like they've gone too far in their iniquity. The only thing remaining for them is the time that the armies of Nebuchadnezzar comes down and utterly destroys their city and destroys tens of thousands of them without mercy. Begin at the temple, at the house of God, begin at the 70 elders of Israel, at the house of God, and then destroying the entire city already settled. God's not going to let them change their mind, not going to let them turn around because they've already been judged and found worthy of such destruction. But that's not the case today. Yet we live in a world and a nation that is so anti-Christ, against God and against Christ, and yet he says, preach the gospel to them. Preach the gospel to them. While we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were enemies, yet we were reconciled unto God through the death of His Son. Praise God. And so there's nobody on this planet, no person upon this planet, living person, that God said, oh no, not that guy. He's gone too far. He's been too evil. He's been too sorry. He's done too many ugly things, horrible, bad things. You know, God's not saying that against any person because Christ died for all. I said He died for all, that all might go free, that all might be saved. And yet we see people that they, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that gospel. Some people believe a lie and be damned. And I've known people, saw this happening a number of times, that even a preacher get overzealous at an altar call. And I've heard them point people out. I've saw it. Said, if you don't get right with God tonight, you'll never have another chance. God will never deal with you again. I said, oh, don't say that. Zealous to give an altar. And normally they get in the altar, they cry and they bawl and they squall and they repent, but they're not saved. They're not converted because they were scared into an altar. When they get away and sin is still in charge and they're still living in that ungodly world, they get away and the devil begins to tell them, you can't be saved. You missed your chance. You missed your opportunity. I tell you, that's not true. You've not missed your opportunity. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be free. But I can't do it for you. But he said, if you'll change your mind and believe the gospel, he said, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. What you've got to do, you change your mind and believe. That's what Jesus is saying. Now the gospel of that day, as Jesus preaching to Galilee, the gospel is the Christ has come. And what were the Jews believing? Well, the Christ is coming. That's not a real big change. Except it's a monstrous change when you're asking them to believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's a huge change for that Jew. Because Jesus, born in a stable and laid in that manger, come out of Nazareth, out of Galilee. They're looking for a Messiah out of a king's palace, out of royalty, of the house of David. He was of the house of David, but they didn't understand those things. Nevertheless, the message that was to be believed at that time is the Christ has come. Stop looking for Him to come because He has come. When Jesus died and rose again that third day, the message became, Jesus is the Christ. There was 3,000 was saved on that first day of Pentecost as Peter preached that message. And his last words, he said, the same Jesus whom thou took with wicked hands and crucified, God hath raised him from the dead and made him to be both Lord and Christ. The scripture said there was pricked in their hearts. The Jews, guilty of the death of Jesus. If anybody's going to destroy anybody without chance of repentance, wouldn't it be those who were guilty of requiring the death of His Son? Yet they were pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? I tell you, they were terrified to realize that resurrection told them that, yes, we killed the Messiah. We killed the Son of God. What can we do? And then here's Peter indicting them with the death of the Son of God. And God's raised up, made Him both Lord and Christ. They're pricked in their hearts. What shall we do? What does Peter say? Repent. Change your mind. Change your mind. Hallelujah. Repent. Repent. Change your mind. Because that's what the word meant. To change your mind. You change your mind about Jesus of Nazareth. You change your mind and know that the Christ has come and that Jesus is the Christ. And on that cross where you helped to crucify Him, yet God has done through Him everything that the prophet said that would be done. Praise God. But he said, you change your mind. I remember I go back 25 years, maybe a little longer, but the time I began to seek God to so diligently for the answer for the sin problem, the heart of man, God dealt with me so severely on so many things at that time. And a lot of you heard this incident, probably most of you, but I'd be preaching. And I'd be preaching what I'd always heard. I'd be preaching what I always understood. I'd be preaching what made sense to me. And in the middle of preaching, the Spirit of God would rebuke me. Stop doing that. Stop saying that. One of the occasions was what I always viewed as the hardest scripture in the Bible. 1 John 3:9. I was over in that Lauder Road church, Sunday morning service. I was preaching. I came down to 1 John 3:9. And coming right through there, 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty clear, isn't it? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I knew that couldn't be right. I knew. All my experience told me that that cannot be right. That cannot be the truth of what John was saying. That whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. The scripture says, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. And understanding that, the only way that I could understand at that time was, as long as Jesus remains in you, you can't sin. Absolutely can't sin the seed of God and so forth. And cannot sin because they're born of God. But I was going through that and I heard other teachers at the time explaining that that didn't mean that you didn't commit sin, but it means, they said, that You don't practice sin. And it's not your habitual practice to sin, but we're all sinners and we all sin, but it's not our practice. But we do sin from time to time. And so I was explaining about that matter of it's not our habit to sin. It's not our practice to sin. We don't habitually sin. Of course, people, we all sin from time to time, but it's not our practice. And the Spirit of God, in the middle of my preaching and teaching that I've slowed up to teach a little bit, but the Spirit said, stop making excuses for what my Word says. And I heard that. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard that inside just as loud as I said it just then. Stop making excuses for what my Word says. I quit preaching as fast as I could close that service down. I shut that sermon off and maybe prayed for a few people I don't know, but we went home and I got into that Word. And I got on my knees and I started seeking God. And I sought God for days over that matter. God, I don't understand this. You told me, don't make excuses for what your Word says. And your Word says they don't commit sin. And I don't understand that because my own experience, I know by experience. Do you know that most of the Scripture that people know is that one that says, I know by experience? And that's not in the Bible. I was telling the people one time, I know by experience that it's this way. I know by experience that we all sin. I know by experience. And God again spoke to me. He said, you don't know anything by experience. You only know by my Word. Praise God. I'm seeking the Lord for the answer for the sin problem that's in the heart of man. And He's bringing me to the hardest Scriptures in the Bible. The toughest ones. He don't start with the easy ones and work up to it. You know, well, I forgive you, and if you continue faithful long enough, then you'll overcome all that, you know. No. He didn't take that course. He started with the toughest Scripture in the Bible. And when I said, well, I know by experience that the children of God still sin because I've sinned since I've been born again. How many have sinned since you've been born again? So your experience tells you that those that are born of God do sin. Your experience tells you that. But God said, you don't know anything by experience. You only know by what my Word says. And I wrestled over that for about a week anyhow, seeking God and talking to the Lord about it and praying about that John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And I came to a place, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it fits somewhat what I'm talking about tonight. I made a choice to believe what the Scripture said instead of what my experience said. And to believe what the Scripture said instead of what tradition said. And to believe what the Scripture said instead of what Christian philosophy says. To believe what the Scripture says. And I came back to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't understand this. My experience tells me that it can't be so. But I said, God, I will believe it because your Word says it. And that's when I changed my mind. I changed my mind to believe the Word. Now, Jesus said, believe the gospel. The only way I'm going to understand John 3:9 is to believe the gospel. Praise God. But I started out by believing John 3:9, and it condemned me every time I read it. Every time I read it, it condemned me. But God, I will believe it. And I went one step further. And God, I will preach it because your Word says it. Praise God. And I began to not only to believe it, but I wasn't going to be silent about it. I wasn't going to keep it to myself. I remember way back in 1967, Brother Ralph Nichols, missionary in Mexico, has been since 1968, many years. He's about 80 years old now. He was a river preacher, San Jacinto River preacher. He'd go down on the San Jacinto River every Sunday afternoon with a bullhorn and preach to the fishermen, swimmers, people down at the San Jacinto River. They used to flock down there every Sunday afternoon. And he was a river preacher. But I got him to preach one night, and he preached from 1 John 3 and 9. I thought, my Lord, I give you one chance to preach. And I said, you take that hardest scripture in the Bible. And he preached it. And I remember after the service, there was a woman, her and her husband, been coming to church for a period of time, a couple of months. And Lord, she jumped on him, mad as a wet hen. I mean, she called on him about that. She was mad, telling her that whoever is born of God doesn't commit sin. That's not right. I'm a child of God, and I sin. I sin every day. Oh, that woman was mad. And I didn't know which one I felt the sorriest for, her or him. And here it is. I can't just start believing it and keep quiet about it, because if I say it, people are going to think I'm crazy. If I say it, whosoever is born of God don't commit sin. And everybody's experience tells them that that's not what it's saying. I didn't know anybody's experience at that time that didn't tell them that can't be what it's saying, because I'm born of God and I've committed sin since I've been born of God. And every one of us here confess that are born of God that we have sinned since we've been born of God. See, I'm not standing here with an axe about to chop your head off if you've committed a sin, but to tell you that if you can change your mind and believe what the Scripture says, God will change your heart. But if you can't change your mind, He can't change your heart. You can go through life arguing with God and arguing with the Scriptures and arguing with the preacher. The Apostle Paul run into the same thing. I know that he did, because, well, we know he's persecuted everywhere he went by the Jews, and then in some places the Gentiles as well, like in Ephesus. Nevertheless, he said unto the Galatians, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Praise God, he'd speak the truth to the people, and they'd get so mad they could kill him. In fact, they'd get so mad they'd try to kill him. They'd get so mad they'd beat him with whips. They'd get so mad they'd throw rocks at him. They'd get so mad they'd beat him with rods. And just on and on and on it went, because he was telling them the truth, speaking the truth to them. And all the time God is speaking to those that's getting so mad. Said, if you can change your mind, I'll change your heart. If you can just change your mind and believe what my word says, he said, then I'll change your heart. I understand John 3 and 9 today when it says, for whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And that word commit is the Greek word poio. Now, this didn't give me understanding. This made it harder to understand when I knew what the Greek word poio meant, because it says to make or do. And then when I searched a little bit further in a comparison with the word presso, which is translated practice, see, if John would wanted to say that those that are born of God don't practice sin, he just used the word presso. But he didn't. He used the word poio. And he said poio, as contrasted to presso, said poio means not even a single act. And I've committed many acts of sin in the 50 years since I was born again. I backslid for a period of time since that I was born again. And so how can I understand that without condemning myself to damnation, to hell, to the lake of fire? How can I understand that? He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit a single act of sin, because his seed remaineth in him. And there where we thought it's because Jesus remains in us, but it's not. It's because we abide in Christ. Hallelujah. You go up that third chapter, 1 John, to the 5th verse, and it said, and we know, how many people understand that if the apostle says, we know, then we ought to know. In fact, it was general knowledge among the children of God. And we know, and he's speaking to little children, young converts. This wasn't something they learned after they'd been saved 40 years. This wasn't something they could get 10 years later, 5 years later. He's speaking to little children. And we know, that He was manifested to take away our sins. If you'll change your mind and believe that, He'll change your heart. But if you don't believe that He was manifested to take away your sin, then you'll never be free from sin. But what must you do? You say, well, I'm not strong enough. I can't stop sin. He didn't tell you to stop sinning. He said, change your mind and believe what that Scripture says. Change your mind and believe the truth. Believe the gospel. Just change your mind. Praise God. And we know that He was manifested to take away our sin. Praise God. How many can say, I know that He was manifested. Lift your hand up. I know that He was manifested to take away my sin. The rest of that fifth verse says, in Him is no sin. Hallelujah. And guess what? He's the abiding place of the child of God. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Hallelujah. Just abide in me and I in you. Like a branch abides in a vine, just abide in Him. Hallelujah. But here He said, in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And that word abideth there, it means stays in Him. See, if you was born again, you was created in Christ Jesus. You wouldn't work of evolution. He didn't slowly convert you. If you're born of God, you're born of God. Hallelujah. You're a new creation in Christ. In Christ. It's not a theoretical place. That's the abiding place of the children. That's the kingdom of God that the children of God dwell in. It's in Christ. We think of abiding in Christ as being a little narrow place, you know, because Jesus is just a man. But He wasn't just a man. Hallelujah. When we abide in Christ, we abide in Him who is in the beginning with God, who was God, who created all things, praise God, created in Him, for Him, by Him. All things consist in Him, etc. The entire universe created in Christ. Praise God. The kingdom of God, this new creation in Christ. The new heavens and the earth in Christ. It's not yet, but it shall be in Christ. But right now, the child of God in Christ. In Christ, who is the beginning, who is the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, who is from the beginning, who is the beginning. Praise God. We abide in Him. And he who stays in Him, he who's not moved away from Him, sinneth not. Praise God. Listen, there's nothing been changed about me as a man or an individual. Nothing's been changed about me genetically, physically, or any other way that if I decided, well, I'm going to walk out of this church, I'm not going to preach again. I don't have to preach to be saved. I don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have to. Now I can get into all those I don't have to's, I don't have to's, and God doesn't expect, and all those things. And I could walk out of here with good intentions of living a clean, decent, pure life with all those intentions. Walk out of this place, say, I'm not going to preach again. I'm not going to go to church. I'm just going to live a good life and take it a little more easy. And take the weekends to get away with the family and go fishing and go hunting, whatever to do. And I'll assure you, with all my good intentions, it wouldn't be just a very few weeks that sin would begin to work in my heart again. There'd be a rebirth of sin. But He said, those that stay in Christ, hallelujah, they stay in Christ. They sin not, hallelujah. What He said, over there in that ninth verse, He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin because His seed, He said, they stay in Him. Hallelujah. His seed, they stay in Him. His children, they abide in Him. They stay in Him. And they cannot sin because they're abiding in Christ. You say, preacher, that's impossible. Change your mind about that and you'll enjoy it. Because he said, if you can change your mind, I'll change your heart. Praise God. But if you can't change your mind, predestinationist, a lot of people are really damned by that. People that believe they're predestined, whoo, they rejoice in it. I'm predestined. I can't miss it because I'm predestined. But then if I'm going to say that I can't miss it, I got to find somebody else say you can't make it because some predestined to salvation and some predestined to damnation if that were the truth. But that's not the truth. But in the doctrine of predestination, what they call irresistible grace. Have you ever heard of irresistible grace? Now, what irresistible grace is, if you're chosen, the grace of God is pulling you to Christ, and you can't resist. If you're chosen, and if you can resist the grace of God, then you're not chosen. You're damned if you can resist it. Let me tell you, I see people all the time that Christ died for that are resisting the grace of God, and they're lost. And they'll perish if they continue to resist the grace of God. But when Jesus says, change your mind, stop resisting the grace of God, start believing the Word of God, believe the Gospel. And He said, I'll change your heart. What you tried to do and you can't do, I'll do it in you. I'll change your heart. I'll take away the drugs, the alcohol. I'll take away the lust, the unclean lust of the heart. I'll take it away. I'll purify that heart with my own blood that I shed for you. Praise God. I'll do it. Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. And someone said, oh, I don't believe that. Sanctification is progressive. It's a cooperative work. We work at it and the Holy Ghost will help us. You know, if you believe that, you'll never be clean. I said, if you believe that, you'll never be clean because the Word says that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. He suffered outside the gates. He died on that cross. He shed blood and the whole purpose was to clean you up from the inside out, to purify your heart, to take sin out of your heart. And yet people, I don't believe that. And you'll never experience that. And at the last, you'll be lost. You'll be lost. I had a pastor, he wrote a song, and I wish I could sing it like he did. But this is from 56 years ago. I heard this preacher singing this song, he said, you may live out your life without Jesus. You may scoff at the old rugged cross, seeking pleasures and sins, worldly pleasures. But my friend, you can't forget God. Though you travel the whole wide world over, seeking rest in the way you have trod, yet you'll wake up in hell! Lost forever. There, my friend. You won't forget God. And that preacher, his eyeballs would get that big around when he screamed hell. You could see the torments of the flames in his face when he cried hell. They'll wake up in hell. Lost forever. Many times with your head on a pillow, you have said, God, I will for you live. But somehow you have lost your direction. Oh, my friend, you can't forget God. Though you travel the whole wide world over, seeking rest in the way you have trod, yet you'll wake up in hell lost forever. There, my friend, you won't forget God. People go on their own way. That was a matter of seeking to bring people. And I saw people run into those altars. I saw people saved. I ran into that altar, was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't over that song. It was over something the Lord spoke, actually in prophecy, that gripped my heart and targeted me and let me to know that God Almighty was speaking to me, to my heart. It was me that He pointed out that day. Second time I was ever in that church. Nevertheless, that song was to get a sinner to come. But there's those that have been seeking to serve God and to please God for years. And maybe they was born again. I don't know. I can't judge your experience. You see, if somebody comes to me and says, I'm a Christian, I'm going to take them at their word. I'm not going to try to prove to them they're not a Christian. And I'm going to take them to work until they prove to me that they're not a Christian. And if their life and their attitudes and their actions and everything they stand for and everything they do tells me they're not a Christian, then I'll know that they're not a Christian. But they come, they say, I'm a Christian. I'm going to believe them. I'm going to take them at their word. Because I don't know what happened in the past. I don't know that. I know that I was saved in that church. But I know that there was some in that same church that began to tell me about how that I'm going to have to crucify myself every day. How that I'm going to have to keep a guard upon myself to keep from falling into the snare of sin that's seeking to deceive me every day. And snares everywhere seeking to entrap me. And I became sin conscious. I was a child of God. I was born of God. Everything He died to do, He had given to me that day in that few minutes' time at that altar. It was real. It was powerful. It was so. But they began to fill my mind with things that were not the gospel. It wasn't long, even in church, that sin began to arise, awaken in me and revive in me. Through much fasting and prayer and so on, I was able to subdue it. But always on the inside was that working of what He preached this morning, the motions of sin was there. I said it was there that it revived within me. But oh, when I started seeking God for the answer to the sin problem in the heart of man, it was the result of 25 years of that kind of salvation. Preaching the gospel, being filled with the Holy Ghost in the early days, seeing healings and miracles and many wonderful things happening, and yet believing that I'd always have this inner struggle with it. And oh, the desperation and backsliding, I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was lost. And even repenting and being restored, and God restored me to ministry and working through me, speaking through me as a watchman throughout the decade of the 80s, giving me visions of things to come, preaching them in 9 different states, something like that on the radio, and seeing the things come to pass that I was preaching. God was able to work like that through this preacher. But the end of 3 years of that, that's when I came to God and I said, God, I'm condemning people for sin that's better than I am. Better men than I am that I'm condemning for sin. And I'm seeing fall to scandals just like I saw in the visions. But God, I can't do it no more. I felt like one of Job's comforters. Elihu, the young man, condemned Job's 3 friends. He said, you've condemned Job, but you found no answer. You found no answer. I came to the place, it was in 1989. I said, God, if you don't give me an answer, I can't continue to condemn sinners. I can't do it. Praise God. Sometimes I know that what I preach, the devil will say, well, that man's condemning you. Oh no, this man's not condemning you. This man's been where anybody is or worse. What have you done? I've probably done worse even after I professed the Lord and was even partaker of the ministry. Listen to me. Listen to me, people. But it doesn't have to be that way. But when God began to teach me, I discovered it was right there in the Scriptures all the time. But I'd been taught not to believe the Scriptures. He said, don't make excuse for what my Word says. Believe what my Word says. If it condemns me, I'll believe what His Word says. I'm not going to seek a way around the Word of God, but I'm going to seek to understand. As I begin to understand more and more and more, praise God, I believe the capstone is, about 3 years ago, I shouted, I found Him, the Christ of prophecy, whom God sent into the world to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And if you'll know who He is and what He came in the world to do, and believe that He did it when He died on that cross, if you'll change your mind from everything that's been given to you and taught to you, and every excuse against the Word of God, God will change your heart and you'll go free. There's not a person in this place tonight that God can't, oh God, that He can't purify the heart, fill them with the Holy Ghost, put His Word in them, and send them out to be a light in darkness. Not a person in this place. Devil tell you, oh, it can't be me. It can be you. It can be you. Hallelujah. Because it works, people. I've seen people some right here in this church and obstinately refuse to believe. Mary Duffney, we spoke of her so often. She passed away 13 years ago, I guess it was. But she's saved here in 93. I'd only been preaching the gospel about 3 years. And 2 years before that, I had received my cleansing of my heart purified just 2 years before that. But Mary was building this church, and she was a woman paint contractor. And she painted. If you want to remember Mary, look at these walls. She painted them all. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, she was an alcoholic. She was a drug addict. Her language was, it'd make a sailor blush. Every sentence was filled with filthy four-letter words. She couldn't even hide it from the preacher. I mean, they just tumbled out of her. You never heard such horrible language that when she get turned on to that. You know, everybody liked Mary, but Mary was lost. She was devil-possessed. Absolutely devil-possessed. Prayed for Mary at times when I first met her back in 86, 7 years before salvation, deliverance. But first prayed for her and saw that she was totally devil-possessed. Seen the devils take her over, speak through her, turn her into statues so that she'd stand motionless. One time lunged for my throat to attack me, that spirit in her. And I stepped aside and said, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And she went and turned into a statue and something like this. And I'm wavering and quaking, trying to stay there without trembling, without blinking an eye for at least 10 minutes. Stood there in a statue, and people here tonight that saw that, you saw it, but so possessed of the devil. Of course, years later came a laughing revival, they called it, where the same thing had happened. They'd said it's the Holy Ghost. But it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the Holy Ghost doing them stupid things, barking like dogs, howling like eagles. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. Nevertheless, Mary, this thing take her over, talk through her. First time that happened, had my eyes closed. I learned to watch and pray after that. 6 o'clock morning prayer meeting. I got my eyes closed, commanding the devil to turn her loose. I felt the hand take me by the wrist like a vice grip and throw my hand off. And I heard a voice that said, she's mine. And it came out of her. Oh, my. And that's when the battle with the devil started. It went on for months. And then her mother got very sick. She moved back to Michigan. She's gone. But in the meantime, God had revealed the gospel to me when she came back in 93. Hallelujah. And I said, I'm not going to wrestle that devil no more. If what he's told me is true, it'll all be gone when she believes. And Mary argued against the gospel every day of her life until the moment she believed it. And the moment she believed it, the drugs, the alcohol, the demon spirits, the filthy language, all of it was gone. 25 years drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all of it, filthy language, all gone. She argued against it until the moment she believed it. Yet there's lots of people trying their best to believe it. Trying their best to believe it. It just won't work for me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Hallelujah. It'll work for you. It'll work for you. But I've seen people since then that have fought against it, refusing to believe it, and one day wake up to the fact that they believe it and say out loud, I do believe it. I do believe it, but it just hadn't worked for me. But I do believe it. And then it started working for them. Hallelujah. You see, I used to criticize Billy Graham years ago over the name of his broadcast, The Hour of Decision. Because I don't believe that you can just make a decision one day. The only way you can make a decision is if the Holy Ghost is drawing you. Then you can make a decision. So my criticism is probably wrong. I know about this because I know today that I can make a decision to believe God. I can make a decision to believe God without even understanding. I can make a decision. If it says it, I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah. If it says my old man is crucified with Christ, I'm going to believe it. Didn't understand it, but I'm going to believe it. The Lord taught me in visions. I was in such a struggle. I remembered when I first got saved, my image of Jesus on the cross with His arms outstretched for me, loving me, dying for me. And I loved to see that. It was just in my mind that I could see it. But I loved seeing that, His arms outstretched, loving me, dying for me on that cross. And yet years later, in an inward struggle, just continually struggling. One night I had a vision, and I wanted to go back to Calvary and see Him there, hands outstretched, loving me, dying for me. And when I looked towards the cross in this vision, I saw Him just like I saw Him in the beginning. But this time, I saw me superimposed over Him. My hands nailed with His hands. My feet nailed with His feet. This is a vision from the Lord. My feet nailed with His feet. And I saw that. I was so amazed that I was on that cross with Him. And as I came out of the vision, I heard the words of the Scripture, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. And you know, even after that vision, it was years before I understood it. But I'm here to tell you about it tonight. That if you'll change your mind and believe it, because the Scripture says it, not because Brother Surface said it, our old man is crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we'd not be a slave to sin. For he that is dead with Christ is freed from sin. Praise God. If you'll change your mind and believe that, God will change your heart. If you'll change your mind and believe that, you can point something out to people and say, oh, I see that. Yeah, that is in the Bible. The next time you see them, they're not seeing that. They're still seeing what they always saw. But you point it out to them in the Scripture. Yeah, you know, you're right. It does say that. I never noticed that before. And yet the next time you see them, they're still bound and they're still believing what they always believed. Because they never made a decision to believe the truth. In this, I'm not asking for a decision to be a Christian. I'm not asking for a decision to change your lifestyle. I'm not asking for a decision for anything except to decide I'm going to change my mind. And I'm going to believe the gospel. And if you can change your mind, God will change your heart. Praise God. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And the childish things he's talking about was childish speaking, childish understanding, and childish thinking. Those are the things that he had to put away. He had to change his mind. I read that for years, and I said, well, I used to play with Tinker Toys, but I don't play with them. I put them up one day. He wasn't talking about playing with Tinker Toys. He's talking about, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish speaking, childish thinking, and childish understanding. I put it away. It's childish thinking, childish understanding, childish speaking that's holding us in bondage. Praise God. Maybe not something you heard as a child, but you've heard in religion. You've heard from psychologists, psychiatrists, philosophers, religious teachers, doctrines. But those things that cannot save, that cannot change the heart of man. It's a good thing. Paul said that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, doctrines that have not profited those that have been occupied therein. He said, don't stay with those things. Put away those things. Change your mind. God will change your heart. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet together. Just look to the Lord. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son. Hallelujah. Open understanding. You said, Paul, not to blind their eyes, but to open their eyes. Let me be one that can open their eyes by your Spirit. Hallelujah. And their hearts and their understanding. Praise God. That's what you sent the gospel for. That's what you sent Christ for. Hallelujah. Oh, my Savior. But all I can tell you right here, He's not telling you to change. He's not telling you to turn. If you'll change your mind, He'll send Jesus to turn you. He'll turn you. He'll convert you. He didn't tell you to convert. He said, be converted. Change your mind and be converted. You do the changing, He do the converting. Hallelujah. You do the changing of the mind, He'll do the converting. Hallelujah. 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 Life is set before you tonight. Life is set before you. If you can change your mind and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Not asking for a show. I quit seeking a fair show in the flesh a long time ago. I understand and I've seen it happen. I've seen lives transformed. Just hearing and believing. Just hearing and believing. But they've got to stop their struggling and their efforts. Hallelujah. As long as you're trying to convert, you'll never be converted. Trying to change, you'll never be changed. But you can change your mind and believe the gospel. You can do that. You can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did it years ago. I've been preaching 25 years when I did it. But I said, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to believe it. I chose to believe the gospel. I chose to believe it. And experience came after. My experience don't tell me that the children of God are sinners anymore, Sister Bunny. My experience don't tell me that. And your experience won't tell you that after you change your mind and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. It'll all go away. It'll be changed. He'll change your heart. Lift up your hands to Him. Hallelujah. I choose to believe. Do you choose to believe? I choose to believe. I choose to believe the gospel. I choose to believe who He is, what He came to do, and that He did it. I choose to believe it. to trust in Him, oh God. If you can change your mind, He'll change your heart. Hallelujah. And Satan will try to move you away from it. Maybe your best friend will tell you it ain't so. But oh, you make your decision tonight. I'm going to believe God. Let every man be a liar. But I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe the Scripture. I'm going to believe the Gospel. Hallelujah. Anybody need special prayer here tonight? Oh, my Savior. My Savior. My Savior. Seek the Lord, people. Seek understanding. He that seeketh findeth. You seek understanding. God looked down from heaven in what is Psalms 114, I think. Look down from heaven to see if there's any that understood, any that sought Him. And Paul said, among those that are trusting in the law, there's not a one of them that understands. There's not a one of them that seeks Him. So if you're one of those that have chosen to change your mind and believe the Gospel, then seek understanding daily. Go to Him. God, give me understanding. Give me understanding. And seek God. Hallelujah. He'll purify your heart. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost.